the most thing?
Water.
Water.
Wind, which is hovering, the spirit of God was hovering above the water. Any movement is caused by the spirit.
And the dove.
The dove. I didn't know we had. Did you know we had a dove above our crucifix?
Yes.
Yeah, I tried to get a picture of it for the slide, but I couldn't get that far up there.
You know where the
canopy
is?
There's a canopy. I've never seen a canopy. Most churches have a canopy.
I'm all that
up. I work up there every day during that.
You're looking at the cross. You got to look above the cross.
Yeah, there's a canopy. Right at the peak of the canopy, there is a red.
Yeah, we have a
thing with a white dove.
You see, you just don't
think so. I guess I am. It
hurts us now.
Anyone else notice it?
Oh, just the crucifix itself.
Crucifix. Okay. It was me.
Good. This table here?
I always said dove, love, dove. And dove.
Two winds.
Or you want the wind. Yeah.
I had fire. I like the heat. Anybody else heat? I said,
yeah.
Mike. You know, that warmth, the burning in the heart.
And just the warmth. Like a loving warmth.
A loving warmth. The dove we talked about here is peace and love. It's the dove, the symbol. Any others?
Dove.
Dove? Okay. Dove too. Okay. Dove. The wind. All right. I like that. Hovering. Hovering the wind. Motion made from the wind. We talked at our table here. We were at a retreat. I was thinking of 2 years ago out in Preston County, and we knew the Holy Spirit was there at this retreat. It was just incredible.
Well, that was 2 years ago, also.
Yeah. And we were in this church, and this incredible wind came in. It just came in and blew all around that church. It really chilled you when you knew that. And everybody was kind of on their own, like. But one student came over and said, "Did you feel that wind? Did you see that wind? Did you, sense that wind?" And everybody in the room was going, "Yeah, we did. And he said, "I checked all the windows and doors to make sure they were, they were open or closed. And they were all closed. So what is that wind? Tell me, what is that wind?" So we had to try to explain that. That. You know, it was a surprise to us that the Spirit would come there. We shouldn't have been surprised, of course, but we were. And the one student.
Well, I was saying how the apostles, if we were shocked and we had the scriptures to fall back on to say, oh, this is what's going on, but they didn't have that, so they had to be really terrified.
So this was a real manifestation of the Spirit at this particular retreat. And we had some scriptures to fall back on. Some of the students didn't understand that yet. And so we had to do some explanation. And one student was really, really very smart about it. And can you tell the story?
Well, it actually happened twice. And it was with the same group of students. One's in Preston County, and then when we had a Life of the Spirit seminar here, it happened here. But one of the students said to me, I was trying to, be apologetic, and trying to figure out how to answer them because I was just as caught up in it myself because it had never happened to me before either. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, He's like, "You can't stop the Holy Spirit." And I was like, "He's right." It was just really.
There was a really neat picture from that retreat, too, that I don't know whether you have it on your machine or not, but you can pull it up later, but that night that the Holy Spirit blew through, someone took a picture of the group, and there is a glow around them that's noticeable in the picture. We can sit and say, "Oh, it's just the lighting and the way the light was hitting the kids and stuff," but there's a noticeable glow. It was pretty neat. The first time I saw it, I was like, "Okay, this something good happened here."
Yes, it did.
Was just totally comfortable. Some pictures, you get that perfect smile and everybody's at ease, and they were glowing.
So sometimes You can expect, because sometimes you don't expect. So we thank the Lord. All right, here's one of my favorite slides, my screensaver on my computer too. I have the dove, and I have that flames and the fire, and there's seven flames here for the symbolic of the seven gifts of the Spirit. So that leads us into the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. So what are the gifts and the fruits? We want to go to 1 Corinthians. Well, we're going to read this a couple times, so you want to open your Bibles. Corinthians. If you want to know about the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So we're just going to read the first verses 4 and 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. So, charisms or gifts are manifestations of the Spirit. Their purpose is to build up the body of Christ, which is all the people at the part of the church. They're essential for spiritual growth and fulfillment of our spiritual mission. All right, now we can continue on in Corinthians. Anybody want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10? Paul.
To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another varieties of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes.
Okay. Let's see, I have... So we have wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. I'm going to read from this. I've got a book called Charisms, a little pamphlet, and they have some really good descriptions, because many people ask, well, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? And sometimes understanding is listed as a gift of the Spirit. So what's the difference between these? So this book describes that. So I'll just go over there. Wisdom is the facility to offer a solution to a problem or give insightful teachings that opens the hearer to God's wisdom. So this isn't our knowledge, our wisdom. This is a person who receives the gift of wisdom from the Spirit understands what God's wisdom is about that particular situation. Knowledge is the ability to clearly communicate God's word or doctrinal truths, or to know how God is working within an individual or in the community at a particular time. So some of these gifts are time-specific or incident-specific. So to have that gift of knowledge, you know how God is working in a particular person's life or in a particular situation. Faith. Faith is a supernatural infusion to know with full certainty that God will bring something about. Charismatic faith is not the same as the virtue of faith which we receive our salvation in Christ. So a supernatural infusion to know full certainty that God will bring something about. So that's faith. Healing. Healing sounds pretty simple. Let's see what they say here. The manifestation of God's power to restore a person's spiritual, psychological, or physical well-being. This may be instantaneous or gradual, and often through the use of natural means. We'll talk some more about that. Mighty deeds. It's also called miracles. Miracles are God's supernatural interventions into natural realm to demonstrate divine power. Miracles help strengthen faith or bring about faith. So a lot of these gifts will intermingle with each other and support each other and build each other up. Prophecy is God's message spoken through an individual to the community. Prophecy does not necessarily mean predicting the future. Paul says the purpose of prophecy is for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation of God's people. I know prayer meeting we were at last Thursday at St. Francis, there was someone had that gift of prophecy, and they had a prophetic word which they shared with the congregation that gathered there, and it just built up others in the congregation. And there was one person I know said, "Oh, I confirmed that. I had that same sense right when they said it." So, you know, it works. it definitely works. So, it's discernment of that's prophecy. Discernment of spirits. Discernment is the capacity to know whether a gift or inspiration has as its source the Holy Spirit, or is of human origin or evil influence. Paul says that the Spirit always bears witness to Jesus. I got to tell you a little story here. I visit the sick in the hospital a lot, and I don't know, maybe a year ago, I went in this patient's room, and usually I don't know who the patients are when I go and visit. I get a list of the Catholics in the hospital and their room number, and I just go in. And this one room I went into, this woman I went in, she was in bed. And when I went in the room, this incredible sense came over me that there was an evil spirit in her. And I didn't know this woman from any which way. I just had a list with a name and a room number. And I walked in the room, and it just hit me that this person, there was an evil spirit in that room, in her. And very quickly thinking, what do I do? You know, and I said, well, I have Jesus with me, and I'm bringing Jesus here for her. What do I have to fear? And it was just like split second. I said, I just came in, and I just started praying with her, and she prayed with me. And as we were praying, that spirit left. I know it left the room. I don't know where it went. And, you know, thank God. Thank the Lord for that. But I don't normally get those discernment of spirits, but I can vouch for one time that I did. That it was just an incredible experience. So some people have this capacity to do this. And again, God gives us, the Spirit gives us these gifts as needed, and as needed and as deserved and as necessary. And so that in that particular case, I was given that special gift of discernment. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Tongues. We hear a lot about tongues. Let's read Genesis 11, chapter 11. Oh, wait a minute, I had, yeah. This is about the Tower of Babel, I think. Yeah. From 4 to 9. So it says here, while men were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar, settled there. They said to one another, come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire. They used the bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves. So they had this purpose that was not for God, to build this gigantic tower. Gee, as an architect, I've run across that, some of my clients wanting that. Just thought it just came upon me. We shall be scattered all over the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men had built. Then the Lord said, if now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us go down and there confuse their language so that one will not understand what another says. Thus the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the speech of all the world. And it was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth. So that's kind of an introduction to tongues. Then we go to Acts. And did we read that one already? Acts 4? They spoke in all kinds of languages at Pentecost. This is that Pentecost. And God returned that common language. Maybe it wasn't a common language, but it was a language that was understood by all peoples at that Pentecost. How about 1 Corinthians 14? Anybody?
No.
Go ahead, Mark.
Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray to be able to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit is at prayer, but my mind is unproductive. So what is to be done? I will pray with the spirit, but I will also pray with the mind. I will sing praise with the spirit, but I will also sing praise with the mind. Otherwise, if you pronounce a blessing with the Spirit, how shall one who holds the place of the uninstructed say the Amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks very well, but the other is not built up. I give thanks to God that I speak in tongues more than any of you, but in the church, I would rather speak five words with my mind so as to instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue.
Okay, thank you. So one of those gifts is to speak in tongues, but then a complementary gift is to have a gift of interpreting what is said. And as Paul says here in Corinthians, it's very important to instruct and to for people to know. See, we have some other Corinthians here, 1 through 5. That was on prophecy. Pursue love, but strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts. Above all, that you may prophesy. I'll continue. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to human beings, but to God. For no one listens, he utters mysteries in spirit. On the other hand, one who prophesies does speak to human beings for their building up, encouragement, and solace. Whoever speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but whoever prophesies builds up the church. Now I should like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets tongues, so that the church may be built up. Those three kind of go together. And then we have... What's that?
Can I read from the Old Testament?
Yeah.
On prophecy. It's from in Numbers 11:26. Two men remained in the camp. One was named Edad and the other was named Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Edad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. And Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.
Thank you. I like the corresponding Old Testament, New Testament correlations there. That's...
I think you have to explain that story a little bit, though. Moses had taken the elders into the tabernacle, the tent, to see God. And these two didn't go, and the Holy Spirit still came upon them. So the Holy Spirit goes where he may. And we can do...
That's right.
We can do whatever we want.
It's not
the Holy
Spirit.
We try to put ourselves in position as much as we can. But when the Holy Spirit's ready, the Holy Spirit's ready. Whether we're ready or not, he's coming.
I saw one difference in our Bible in translations, okay. But I thought it was kind of interesting because where you said prophecy, mine says the gift of proclaiming God's message every time.
There you go. Okay.
And again, another thing to keep in mind about Corinthians when we're reading this, this first letter to Corinthians was written because the Corinthians started arguing who was better. Those with tongues, those with this, those, you know, which gift was better than which. And so this whole story that Paul lays out here, teaching, is very powerful. And it's the one that finishes with, I'll show you a still greater way, and that is love.
That's right.
And then better than all of these. And they're all good. Although in 14, he really does kind of say, prophecy's better than tongues. Okay, I'll settle this. They're all good, and the Holy Spirit puts wherever he wants to, but prophecy's better. So.
I know we're time is getting shorter, but Isaiah, if you ever want to go to Isaiah 11, 1, 2, 3, you'll also read, that's the Old Testament, where the gifts are also outlined, very similar.
They're a little different. They're usually the ones that we use at confirmation classes. Yeah. They have awe and wonder.
Right. Piety. Piety's
yeah.
Well, what emanates from these gifts? The gifts of these manifestations of the Spirit, and when you receive these gifts, and your life changes, your life is transformed, you then receive fruits of the Spirit. So if we all could go to Galatians 5. Frank could probably recite this without even reading it. Okay, 5, and we're going to go 22. Actually, maybe we should start up there at 16.
Get the bad ones in
there,
too.
Yeah, I've got to get the flesh, the desires of the flesh. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another.
Just skip peace, patience, kindness, and generosity.
Oh, sorry. How did I do that? I'm just reading too fast here. But there you go. I have it up there anyway. Peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control is also included. So the more you use the gifts, the more you obtain fruit from those gifts. And your life is changed to be fulfilled with those fruits of the Spirit. Click on here. Okay. This is where I need Mike. I wanted to call you today and ask you about these... I guess, I don't know, Latin, I don't know what they are.
Fortitude, knowledge,
fortitude.
Piety, sapientia is, I'm trying to remember whether it's, is it wisdom or knowledge?
I would say intellectus is...
Is not...
Knowledge?
Sapientia.
This is comfort?
Comfort.
And...
Council.
Right there.
And I can't
read
what feel.
This is
Dominion.
Fear the Lord. Okay. Anyway, I found this slide, this photo. Come, Holy Spirit.
Testament.
Yeah, this is the Isaiah. And again, the Spirit is a dove. And we got angels down there. So come, Holy Spirit. There's at least 27 charisms in the New Testament. If you go to Romans 12, you'll find some more, and Ephesians, and also if you go to the Catechism, you can read more about those other charisms. I know administration. There's several things, several other things. So these are all gifts that we receive from the Spirit. A lot of these are gifts we receive at baptism and confirmation. And can you imagine getting a gift? Here we come into the gift-giving season of Christmas. Irene's already out shopping, doing things, and I'm glad she does that because I don't. And imagine getting a gift and not opening it. And we receive these gifts at baptism and confirmed with these gifts, probably as a teenager. And, you know, have we opened those gifts and seen what they are and used them? You know, so we're really, it'd be a real insult to somebody if you gave them a gift and that person never opened the gift. So you just think of it, how we're insulting God and not opening our gifts and using them. And then the other part of this, when you receive a gift, if you give it away, it comes back again more fold. So just some words of wisdom. We need to open those gifts that we received. We don't know what they are. I didn't know I had this discernment of spirits at that particular instant, for that particular time. It hasn't happened again, but it happened then. Or maybe it's tongues or interpretation or prophecy. You know, just think about those. And if you do get them, give them away. So I feel like I'm giving that one, that incident I had, away to you guys. So you guys build up the church. Build up the body of Christ with that. All right, a little, this is from, I never pronounce it right, Taze. Loving Father, you have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts. Jesus, Son of God, you ask that your church receive the Spirit to strengthen it in faith. Make us attentive to your word. Jesus, Son of God, you guide your church at all times by the same Spirit. Make us attentive to your word. Jesus, risen from the dead, you open for us a road toward you and toward others. Even when all ways seem closed, make us attentive to your word. Jesus, our brother, you are with all who suffer. Comfort them by your word. Jesus, our brother, you send us in your name to those who need your consolation. Make us attentive to your presence. Spirit of the living God, you renew your church by offering us springtime of reconciliation. Guide us by your word. Spirit of the living God, you cause your fruits to ripen in our hearts. Make us attentive to your word. Grant us serene joy and peace of heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Another five-minute question. Which gifts and fruits of the Spirit have you received or do you want to receive? How open are you to receiving and exercising any of the charisms? And how do you utilize and exercise the gifts that you recognize that you have? All right, do a small group.